Yo, what's up? This is the Brand Broadcast. It's your boy Ant.
What's up, guys? It's Jimbo Hoffman.
How's everybody doing this lovely evening? Night. Oh.
Who are you talking to?
Both. 12 a.m.
You said everybody.
Everybody. How are you doing?
They can't respond to you on the... We're talk radio, man.
How are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you, sir?
You should spend more time exegeting scripture than arguing with me.
You know, me and my wife are talking about your use of exegete lately. But that's another story.
We're going to have to talk about that, because if I was the highlight of the conversation...
You were.
It must have been very good.
Well, this is actually the first time we probably hung out since the last podcast.
Which was about 2 weeks ago.
You've been doing a lot... Man, my beard looks good on camera.
It's a little glossy. It's got a little reflection.
Yours is coming in now.
You just need some Gorilla Glue.
You know what the problem is with yours? Hot comb. You know what the problem is with your beard?
What? It's on my face?
You got the ponytail. That's what's wrong with it.
It's a bun today.
Yeah, but the bun, that takes away from it.
I've been losing some weight, too.
Guarantee if you cut that bun off,
yeah,
that thing will grow in a minute.
No, if I cut my bun off, then I'll look fatter.
What does the bun do with your fat?
First of all, I'm not really fat.
I didn't call you fat. All right. You said it makes you look fatter, so I'm saying, what does bun have to do with fatness?
There's a lot of guys who's muscular that look a little chunky. It's just the way my chemistry is.
Hey, man.
Anyway, hello to viewers on Facebook Live.
God knows the plans he has for you, bro.
Oh, my goodness.
Plans to prosper you.
We need to talk about your exegesis.
And not the hunger. See, there we go again. If you use that word again, someone's going to win $1,000.
Oh, so what's up, everybody? How's everybody doing today?
So before we get into this conversation where I don't know where it's going to go, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yes, you did.
Well, because you was about to get right into it, wasn't you?
Yeah, I was.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I knew you was doing it.
We partners.
Hey, I'm not going to correct you this episode. Remember where you said work on that?
Well, just because you correct me don't mean you're right.
I know, but I'm going to try not to correct you. I was right when I corrected you last time, though.
I don't even remember what it was.
Remember? Because you was typing... And I talked for 15 seconds and you didn't even know what I was saying?
All right, we're not going to do that today.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, we'll get out the way.
We're going to agree about everything. Oh, so let them know how they can contact us is what I was going to say. Because I know you got a lot on your mind today.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the Anthony Acosta show.
Mm-mm.
And I'm going to sit back.
Mm-mm. I don't have a lot on my mind. We're going to come together and do this the right way. All right, well, you got three ways to contact. Well, you got a couple ways.
We only know of three.
We only know of three right now. The rest is on our Facebook.
There's more. We just don't know how to do it.
You can email us at thebereanbroadcast@gmail.com. You can contact us through our Facebook page, Berea. That's Berea. I forgot the last one.
Did you do email? Twitter?
Yeah, email. Oh, our Twitter and Instagram.
Well, we had an Instagram. Ant hasn't been running it for the last few days, but...
Just the notifications have been popping up. So you have us Instagram at Berean Broadcast, and you have us at Twitter, which is the same thing, at Berean Broadcast.
So that's how you guys get a hold of us. I know we're not the most active social media people, but you can get a hold of us. Facebook is the most effective, right?
Yeah, Facebook is the most effective. You cannot get my cell phone number.
I posted a question on there today. We haven't got any action yet, but I'm sure come morning time we have
You know Brandon Munson will be on that very soon.
Him and you keep that page alive. I'm glad Brandon's back, man. I hope he don't go on a Facebook hiatus soon.
Right.
But, yeah, man, so today's topic was one we were supposed to do a few weeks ago. And it was all kind of brought on to us because of an event that had happened.
Yep. Oh, you're talking about my event?
Yeah.
All right, you want me to explain it?
Well, not yet, but I'm saying this is why we got to talking about it.
So the title of today's broadcast is Witnessing 101, How to Witness and Why Should We Witness?
Now, I'm sure we're going to have disagreements on some things like witnessing techniques or whatever you want to call it. Maybe even definition. But I'm going to try to minimize our disagreements and just keep with the juice of the topic.
The juice.
The juice.
Low calorie juice, no sugar.
All right. So one of the things, let me give like my little 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you read off on that thing. But when you told me about what happened, one thing that really stood out to me was the fact that people are always watching us despite whether we know it or not, right?
Yeah.
So this person told you about a Facebook post of yours that they seen that impacted them, right?
Yes. And,
but they never liked it, right? They didn't comment. They didn't. Never liked you didn't even have comment. No. I think you probably had zero on the whole post, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Nobody really likes my abortion post.
So, but they came to you, and mm-hmm. they, you know, I'll let you tell that story. And that just made me realize, you know, a lot of people talk about, I'm going to, you know, they talk about witnessing in the sense of like a verb, like I'm doing it. I'm going to go witness, which isn't wrong. But also there's a witness on, you know, there's a witness about us all the time as Christians. Whenever we are in a place where people's eyes can be on us, we are in some way witnessing. And that was kind of my thought to do this whole episode was to kind of discuss that. There is intentional ways to go talk to people. And, you know, I'm sure you kind of got some of that. But I really was like, wow, man, there's, you know, people's really watching our every move at times, especially on a public forum like Facebook. And, you know, Christians, you can get discouraged a lot by posting. And I mean, there is those obnoxious posters. But, you know, if you're just spreading the gospel or hitting on a subject or encouraging somebody and you feel like you're not getting a lot of posts, I mean, people are still seeing it.
Yes.
Right? Yep. I mean, we started that Berean page not too long ago, and the moment you share something, it says 18 people viewed it.
Yeah.
And that actually tells you how many people seen it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so you got to be careful because people are always going to be watching, whether it's Facebook or in person. If you go to a grocery store, you may not be going, okay, I'm going to do this grocery store to witness. But every person that sees you, if they can identify you as a Christian, you'll be witnessing to them in some way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so you have active ways to witness and passive ways to witness where people just know you're a Christian and they're watching everything you do. Like, are your actions testifying that you are a Christian? And at the same time, people are watching for us to slip up, to be them type of people to you know, call out some type of hypocrisy or something. So, regardless of the fact that our lives, as we live them, is another form of witnessing and how we carry ourselves out there.
And I'm not so worried about people catching you doing wrong because we're not, you know, we're sinners. That's probably the easiest thing to do, right?
He does a lot wrong.
Nah, I ain't gonna deny that. But that's the easiest thing to do. I mean, you wanna do something easy? Go find a Christian sin. I mean, that's easy. It's easy. We all do it. So I'm not so worried about that, though. You do have to, you know. You do have to be conscious of that. I guess my angle from this conversation was more of being intentional with your witness, right? So if I go out, like we said, to the grocery store, and it's not that I'm trying not to cuss out the, you know, the grocery lady or whatever it is. It's how can I show off that I'm a follower of Christ.
Being patient, you know what I mean?
It's a different mindset. So mm-hmm. when I go in, I might see someone 50 feet away from me in the parking lot coming towards the door. And this ain't necessarily, you know, a Christian only thing, but I stand there, hold the door, and wait for them and let them walk in and say, hey, you know, no problem. You're welcome. Have a good day. You know, God bless. Something like that. And just those little things, like how can I find every opportunity to display my witness? And rather than how can I not look like a hypocrite, because you know you'll probably do that anyway. But anyway, that's just my view is the mindset going into it. Do you want to kind of explain the incident?
Yeah, sure. So, everybody who follows me on Facebook knows that I post things. I post a lot of things knowing that I'm going to get a lot of controversy from them.
That's your intention most of the time.
One of them, don't call out my flaws. All right. One of them is abortion. Abortion is something that everybody, I see a lot of people defend, Christians too, and it's just something that really burden on me, and I feel like a lot of times I have to speak out against this.
If you want
to
know why, you can check out our old podcast about it.
You could, if it's up there.
Let us know if it's up there.
I'll get it to you. So I don't know which post it was, but one of the posts is about abortion.
You didn't know this at the time. Just get to where.
Okay. So a lady came up to me. I'm not going to mention any names.
You were doing what?
I was dropping my son off at school. And she came to me and she was like, you know, rushing to me to talk to me. And she was like, hey, stop. I got to tell you something. So
did you know her?
Yeah, I knew her. I don't speak to her like that, but I know of her. Like, I've seen her around. And first of all, I said, okay, what did I say? What did I do?
Yeah.
Because she seemed really eager to talk to me. She said, you know, she said that I'm pregnant. And I'm due, like, September 1st. And so I'm telling her, well, you know, congratulations and stuff. She said, I was going to get an abortion. And I said, I was like, wow, really? And then she was like, yeah, but, you know, around May, this is like August 23rd, she came to me.
Was it weird that this person that you kind of knew but wasn't friends with just was like, hey, I'm pregnant?
Yeah, like, you know, she felt really comfortable to talk to me.
Okay.
And she came to me and she said, yeah, I was going to have an abortion, but I seen one of your Facebook posts about abortion and what is the process of abortion and what they actually do with the baby. And, you know, I changed my mind. I don't want to have an abortion anymore. And, you know, now I'm due September 1st. And I was very happy and I was about to cry. And because I'm real passionate about abortion.
Yeah.
But to know that there was something that I posted on Facebook that she never responded to. She never responded to. And she said that it influenced her not to get an abortion.
Right.
And so I immediately gave her a hug. I gave her a hug and I was about to cry. I told her I'm so happy. And I said, that was the Holy Spirit convicting you and stuff like that. And she was like happy to have the baby. And I didn't know how to really hold myself. So I told her, let me know when the baby is born. Like, I want pictures. I want to see the baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So the baby's beautiful. It's a boy. Yeah. She posted pictures on her Facebook, and, when I see the baby, it's just God gets all the glory because I know it was Him who convicted her, and I'm just grateful and I'm thankful that He used something that people see negative,
right,
a lot for positive, you know. And it was just a beautiful feeling, and it was a very emotional moment. Yeah. You know, it's still.
I remember you calling me that day, and I was like. I was trying to, like, predict what you were about to tell me. Like, oh, this lady came running up to me, and I'm like, ain't got the Calvinism debate all over again. And then you start telling me about this abortion thing, and I'm like, yo, like, I've been talking to people and seeing about people going to, like, you know, the abortion mills and centers and, you know, going out there and protest, you know, just talking to people, offering different services, you know. The whole ministry that comes with, and how much I've wanted to do it. I'm like, you know, it'd be great. And here you showed me, like, I don't, you know, even with my limited time that I can't go out there and do it, like, I can be witnessing to this topic and to these people just through my God-given platform of Facebook,
yeah.
you know, outlet. There's a Facebook outlet where people interact, and it really made me review my motives for posting what I post.
Oh, me too.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have I, and obviously I think that your case in this instance is a rare one. I mean, I don't expect these kind of results all the time, though it could, you know, it could happen. Like, I wonder how many times have I wasted a good Facebook post on, like, some silly meme or, you know, some worthless video, and I skipped right over, you know, a Bible verse or, an abortion clarification or whatever, you know, it could be anything.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, and I could have made someone feel a little better. I could have relieved a little anxiety. I could have done this, that, and the third. But I just chose not to for whatever reason. And then apply that to real life, you know?
Yeah.
How many people we walk past in the mall and don't talk to or whatever, you know, don't smile or offer a blessing toward or, you know, whatever the case is. And, like, you know, I really looked at that as, like, wasted chances.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I know that there's a lot of times when I went out there and physically was out there ministering to people, and this was before I became reformed, and now I understand on another level. But I would be like, dang, I should have talked to that person. Dang, yeah. I should have talked to that person.
Yeah.
You know, and it really weighed down on me.
Yeah.
And
well, that's a good point.
Yeah, and you know what? And this experience really, it really opened my eyes to, you know, another fact that, you know, I have to be careful what I post also, or how I present myself in a discussion with somebody else, because there's people watching. Not, they don't necessarily have to comment back or like,
right,
or anything to say that, you know, or to be affected by what I say on there.
And then also, like what you said with the hypocrisy, like contradicting yourself, like if that person's considering taking your argument seriously, and then they see you, you know, doing something else later that makes them go, you know, I ain't taking what this guy says.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's just talking nonsense, so.
Yeah.
I think it's important to remain consistent. I mean, I'm not saying not have fun. I'm not saying don't share memes and have, you know, have fun on Facebook or goof off in person, or I'm not saying any of that's wrong. But I'm saying that, you know, there is an opportunity out there.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And so the whole event, man, it sparked this podcast, and it was really a blessing for me, man. Like, I'm really glad that, you know, like, there's a you know, something that a lot of people look at as meaningless,
yeah,
really impacted somebody's life, and now they have a jewel from God that they get to raise their whole life.
Yeah, and I mean, how much more important is it for the people who are in our lives all the time? I mean, think of someone like your kids or your spouse or someone like that, where this one person was on your Facebook and they happened to see a post and it affected their life. How much more of an effect do we have on people we're with every day?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's and a very good remaining point,
remaining consistent and using opportunities to encourage, even if it's a moment, even if it's a second.
Yeah.
You know, looking at every second of life to be an opportunity to give God glory and
Wow. So I got some notes down. I was really preparing and excited for this episode. And I got like 3 points on how we can witness about Christ.
So we kind of were trying to skim through the definition of what witnessing means, right?
Yeah.
What do you think? Give me a nutshell kind of.
Okay, so witnessing for a Christian is testifying about what Christ did for you and who he is and his sacrifice for sinners that need a debt paid that they cannot pay. So we witness, that's what we witness about.
Okay.
So witnessing is us going out there proclaiming that.
Okay.
As actively, I mean. Thank you. So how we do that? First, I got down that we should definitely pray. Every time that we leave the house and we're intentionally going to minister or should pray.
That's my question. Are you talking about just everyday life? Or are you talking about like...
Well, right now I'm talking about everyday life. Well, for me, every day, I'm always intentional about how I'm going to witness today.
Okay.
So I'm always waiting for an opportunity to witness. whether I'm at work or anything. So before I leave the house, I always try to pray, Lord, move me in my steps today. I don't know who he's going to put in my path. So I pray every day. I always prepare myself to witness.
Paul says to pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing.
So that, I mean, that would work for both, like going to witness and just everyday witnessing, right?
Yeah.
So if you're always praying, you always have that opportunity, I guess.
Yeah. And then I know that a lot of times that when people go out to witness or we witness that we aren't that confident. Like I know a lot of times I've been out there and I'm not as confident with witnessing.
Okay, so I'm asking again, is this for like going to witness?
Going to witness.
Okay, I'm just making
sure. So we're going to say, okay, so now we're going to go on to witness.
So is this like, yeah, okay. I just want to help everybody understand. So we're talking about like going out to like
going out
the public area to speak to people about Christ, essentially. I mean, I guess they probably apply to both.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, we're just gonna put this towards going out because it just applies better.
Gotcha.
So I know a lot of times when I go out or I'm there, I'm sometimes not as confident.
Yeah.
You know, we get what's the word called? Well, and we need motivation, so I think we always need to worry that we must realize that it is Christ who qualifies his elect to witness. Mm-hmm. So when we go out there, we got to know that we're qualified to do this, that Christ qualifies us to do this. We're his children and born again. We have that authority to go out and proclaim the name and testimony of Jesus Christ
right.
to people.
Man.
And ways we could do that is we could share short personal testimony, but most importantly, sharing the word of God. You know, because that's how we come to faith.
A lot of people, by the word of God. I think a lot of people do that backwards.
What do you mean? Like share testimony?
I think that's the main emphasis to a lot of people today.
Well, I think...
At least that's what I've come into a lot of experience with. Like, if I'm out in the streets and I hear somebody or someone comes up to me and is like, hey, man, you know God? I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean? And it's all about their story, you know, the story they have.
And I think that's a good that's good to share a testimony, but I think that people get too involved about themselves about the testimony. Like for me, depending on who the person is and if I'm moved to really tell people about how I came to Christ and what kept me from Christ, you know, and it can help somebody who may be going through the same thing, but it wouldn't be wise for me to share that with every person I come to.
Yeah.
You know, so a testimony is good, but most importantly, we must be sharing the word of God.
I think the other, well, I guess I have two thoughts on this. One is faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's one is how can someone believe if they don't hear? Mm-hmm. But the second thing is, you know, testimony, it does hold weight, but it just holds less weight to me anymore because people change, right?
I mean, just
because someone has an experience doesn't mean, one, that it's of God, and two, that that it means anything, you know? Because I can tell you hundreds of people who can give you examples of what they believe was God and what they believe was, you know, whatever. And looking at their life now, I'm like, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of people...
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I'd rather hear the actual word of God
that
doesn't have me questioning rather than someone's life where I'm like, okay, well, great, that happened for you, but what if it doesn't happen for me?
Or yeah.
How do I know that what you're telling me was from God? Or how do I know you're telling... You know what I mean? Like, just... I'm not saying me personally, but as a person who's listening to you.
Yeah, and then you have... I believe you have people that go out there and they minister, they witness their testimony, like trying to get like an emotional reaction from it.
Yeah.
And I think the problem with that is, you know, what happens if that person says they come to Christ and then they don't feel that emotional response anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like this could be a lot of things that go wrong with it. So you got anything on that? So the second part is, you know, why? Why should we witness? This is going out to witness. Again, why should we witness?
Well, I guess I can guess number one.
First of all, that's because you read my notes.
No, I didn't. God, I purposely did it.
God commands us
to witness. Like, that better be a number one.
Witnessing is a command.
So you don't. One thing you don't realize, man, not to sidetrack this a little bit, but I'm always like kind of interviewing you. Like, I'm ready to kick you off if you mess up.
He needs me.
Like, I'm ready to kick you off the show.
He can't kick me off.
And if that wasn't your number one,
he can't kick
you probably would have been gone.
I can kick him off.
And you know what's crazy is that we'd still be recording in your basement if you got kicked off.
No, I'd be recording with Todd White. Or Benny Hinn.
He's about to get kicked off right now.
With Benny Hinn. Listen. I don't...
Okay, guys, welcome to the new Berean Broadcast.
Just so y'all know.
I'm your host.
For the Podomatic listeners, he took my mic.
No, that's good. Yeah, God commands it.
And that command we could find, one of the commands we could find is Matthew 28:19, where Jesus says, go therefore.
What verse?
Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this wasn't a request for us to witness.
Yeah.
That this is something that he commands us to do.
Another verse I like that reminded me of is when he says, you will be my witness. And then he says, you know, in Judea and Samaria, you know. And I had thought about this a lot before with, he doesn't say you will go and witness. He said, you will be, you
will be my witness.
So I always took be my witness rather, you know, as I hate to use this word.
Use it. Go ahead.
An identity type thing.
Ooh, that felt good. Say that.
No. But
it reminded me of the Lion King where the hyenas, but they said Mufasa. He was like, say it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, be, you know, when you hear the word be, you think of the word am, you know, you will be my, and you say, I am his witness. So that's an identity thing. Like, it's something that is a part of who the person is. It's not an action they're doing. So he didn't say, you will go and witness in Judea. You know what I mean? And so when I thought about that, that's kind of like what we talked about now. It's like, it's a command that you are doing at all times. Amen. You will be my witness. When you wake up and your wife is downstairs, you know, getting the kids ready for school. Well, that's me at least.
Yeah.
You know, the moment you come down there, you're witnessing. How is this Christian husband, father, you know, what's he about to do?
Yeah.
And so from the moment you wake up, you know what I mean? You are witnessing. You are his witness. And, you know, they are witnessing as well. You know, it's, you go out in the day, go to the gas attendant. You are witnessing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so... there are times we intentionally go out and maybe street preach or however you want to call it, but we can't think of it as an on and off switch. Like, it's,
you're right.
It's literally got to be part of us.
You're right. And it for your children, like, for example, my son, he's watching everything that I do. He's watching how I treat his mom. He's watching how I deal with him and his flaws. He's watching how a husband should treat a wife. And he knows I'm a Christian. He knows about Christ.
And the bad always speaks louder than the good.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, and this is frank, you know, you said earlier about people ready to jump on hypocrisy in Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be good, whatever that means, 99% of the time, and
that 1%,
there'll be silence.
Yeah.
There'll be an expectation. It won't be, you know. And not that you should get a pat on the back, but, you know, the one time where you're not, the one time where you unnecessarily yell at your kid or whatever, that stands out, right?
Yeah.
And it's not saying that we're doing anything wrong or that, but that should be even more reason why we need to witness. And even when you do those things like yell at them or have a short temper and you don't have time, you know, you don't give them the time that they need, You can still use that as a witnessing moment by, you know, being
coming humble, coming back and
humbling yourself to, you know, apologize to your, you know, 5-year-old kid that, you know, you feel like, I'm the dad. I don't need to do this.
And you know what's crazy? And it's so crazy. My son is 6. And for some reason in our minds, we do not think that they hold water when it comes to how we act, you know, and when I know there's plenty of times I done came and apologized to him for, like, say, arguing with my wife. Like, cause he's the first one to come in and jump in. No, 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 daddy, no. And he's the type, he sets the mood, like, and we're like, dang, he's watching, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. And then I'll go back to him later and apologize. And then it's amazing how he's fully aware of what's actually going on, besides the fact that, you know, he doesn't look at his mom wrong. I mean, his daddy's always the bad guy. And it breaks my heart to see that, because he'll cry and be like, daddy, why don't you just stop? You know, like, he's fully aware of what's going on. You know, it's crazy because he's 6. And they know. Talk to me.
You're gone.
What about your daughters?
Huh? Well, you know, I mean, they got a great dad. I mean, what kind of... Your dad is great. I mean, what do you want me to say?
Look, listen. It's like, we don't have any shortage of humble pile over here.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's something that you need to pray, right? You said start off a prayer.
You got 2 girls, too. 3 girls. Oh, I'm sorry. What the heck? I forgot about the little one. I haven't met the little one yet. Because you're a bad friend.
Yeah, right. You've been Carlos for 9 months because you ain't. Never mind.
Yeah. What did you say about your girls?
Just kidding. Like, I was thinking of, you know, the need for prayer, because it's hard to parent and teach and educate and witness all the time. And, you know, like, it takes a lot of effort to sit there and catechize them all the time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't overdo it. I mean, I'm not saying that. But it's so easy, like, you know, they're in school now and they're with other kids. And, like, picking up on, like, we memorized the Ten Commandments together, or one of the catechism questions. And, like, some of that can be so hard. Like, with Emma right now, she's at that age where she gets some of them, but some of them she just doesn't even want to look at me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you do it. You got to keep witnessing. You got to keep showing it, because there's no option. And you need to pray, because it's so easy. They'll pick up on things that are not of God so much easier than they do of what the Ten Commandments are.
Yeah.
Like, oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I feel like that burp got in the camera. You set me up with these carbonated drinks.
Monsters, no calories, though.
Why you always say that? You've been saying that for, like, years. Y'all got that diet water.
Right? That's sparkling.
But, like, so, like, my daughter likes to watch these weird YouTube videos about kids. She watches other kids play with toys.
My daughter does the same
thing. I know, man. I don't know what's wrong with these kids.
I'm like, baby, why are you watching that kid play with crayons? You want some crayons?
Yeah, right. What the heck is going on?
Are you just saying that because
I told you? Nah, man. Everybody, kid I know, does this.
Wow.
They go on these, I don't know. Yo, it's like.
It's on YouTube.
It hypnotizes them.
I find it on YouTube. Playing with little toy trucks and ducks in water. I don't know why they love that.
Yeah.
I just look at me spending money, because my daughter sees it and she wants it.
But it's hooked up to my YouTube, so they be getting the good songs on there all the time. They be on there listening to Flashlight. You know what I mean?
Follow us on Smule.
I got all I need. Oh, should we? I was about to get... No. Let's not start that.
We should get our Smule back up. Our Korean Smule.
There's like 0 Christian songs on there.
They're not bad songs.
Well, anyway, they'll pick up something from YouTube quick. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about the Ten Commandments, so I'm thankful my daughter listens, but, like, I did not teach Emma how to say, oh my gosh. And the other day, something dropped, and she said, oh my gosh. And I was just like, where did you get that?
Uh-huh.
But I cannot get her, you know, for the life of me to get the fifth catechism question down. Wow. You know what I mean? But I mean, it's coming. But that's what I mean. They pick up on the other things so hard. It takes intention. It takes prayer. It takes patience. And then you get good times where, like, yesterday my daughter, you know, this is just my personal conviction, but my daughter told her kindergarten teacher that she's not allowed, that she doesn't like to see images of Christ at the school. And the teacher was like, oh, well, you know, and she didn't yell at her or nothing, but, like, that was a time where I'm like, she gets it. Like, she wasn't asked what is the second commandment, what does the second commandment require? She just was like, yeah, here's a coloring picture. No, no, thank you. I don't like pictures of Christ or whatever she did. Wow. I don't know. When I heard that from Val, I'm like, it's worth it. All this hours of me, like, sit down, listen to this. Sit down. Let's go through the commandments. And, like, all that was worth it for this one time.
Wow.
And it gives me refuel to keep going.
Yeah.
And so the same thing, I guess, with witnessing to others. I mean, I'm sure you get discouraged a lot on Facebook when you get thousands of posts with no, you know what I mean? I mean, you barely got any friends in real life. So when your posts don't have, I'm just kidding. But no.
That's why I post the controversial ones. I mean, controversial ones.
It's the same thing, though. Like, you know, I'll post, you post a video of, you know, a girl washing a car in her bikini. It's got 7,000 million views and likes.
Mm-hmm.
You post a scripture verse, there's nothing. And that gets discouraging.
Yeah.
But I bet you when this girl told you this crazy story and this miracle happened, I guarantee you, you're like back on track.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And now for a while, I don't pay attention to the likes because I know people are seeing it. I know people are too nosy not to see it. So I know they're just scrolling down their wall, and that works when you're not supposed to have your cell phone. They be doing it. But there's a second verse, and this is my last verse.
Hey, you've been doing great.
That it actually goes with what you were saying. It's the parable of the vine and the branch. John 15:19, it says, you did not choose me. It says that. Jimbo, in the Bible. It says you did not choose me. Sorry.
I'm talking about witnessing.
It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit. In the context of John 15:16, we see that the branches are one with the vine. In fact, they grow from it. This shows our relationship with Christ. We are to be one with Christ. And just like the branches cannot live apart from the vine, the same goes for us. We cannot live apart from Christ. As the branches are commanded to go out and bear fruit, this fruit is the making of other believers, witnessing so that other people hear the gospel and those who are called come forth.
You didn't have to look for my stamp of approval.
You know, it wasn't a stamp of approval. It was a stamp of bam. You thought I needed you for this show. Anyway.
I'm proud of you, young Jedi.
Thank you, sir.
So, apply that now.
What?
Apply that verse.
Oh, okay. We go out and bear fruit. It's like
you've been talking about that.
We actively and we passively witness to people. You know, whether it's our children, when we have the option to yell at them or show them grace.
So tie that into the vine.
We are the vine. We come from...
Hold on, read that again.
Oh, we're not the vine.
How's that to say?
You see what he does? This is what he does all day. Does all day.
What day did Chris read?
Oh, man, I should get my Christian card taken from that one.
Oh, man.
That one.
That's fine.
Anyway. Oh, man.
But, yeah, no. But I'm saying, tie that in and saying that everything we said to this point can only happen because of...
Christ.
Yeah, who we're plugged into.
Mm. And it brings...
Don't do that to me, bro.
I like that.
Don't do that
to me. Plugged into Christ.
Yeah, but you're about to make me feel like a Pentecostal preacher over here. You know?
Go ahead. But look.
Nah, man, you know I got that bad exposure. That preacher. PTSD.
Preacher.
That PTSD coming out.
Oh, yeah?
He said, oh, come on.
Am I bringing bad flashbacks?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, man. So, you know, the point is, you know, like, we never know when we're going to be a witness to somebody. So, in all things we do, we should do it to the glory of God.
That's a good point.
Amen. strong.
I did it again. I know.
You funny. Oh, come on. You be like looking for like, yeah, you. That's why you do so well in like a charismatic church, bro.
I'm waiting for the accordion or the organ to play in the background. That's what we need.
The accordion? You need Steve Urkel to come out?
Remember in my old church, the guy played the accordion at worship?
That's probably why you said that.
Oh.
I was waiting for the accordion to come out. But yeah. See, you do, that's why you do well.
Uh-huh.
You just turned on all the time.
All the time. And I'm drinking a Monster. I'm on point.
Man, but yeah, so praying and being plugged in. I mean, they go hand in hand, but mm-hmm. It's important because...
It's important because...
No, I was thinking through my thought.
Okay.
But, you know, you mentioned a second ago about being chosen and you kind of hinted earlier to the reform thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what that has changed for that, it really changed my witnessing, and we'll kind of wrap it up with this because I don't want to get too much into that, but
mm-hmm.
You know, understanding that it's Christ who changes the heart really affected my witnessing and my approach to speaking to others. And I really struggled a lot in the past when I went on the street talking to people or whatever, and I'd really be like, okay, I have to get this person. I have to change them. I have to get them. I got to get them to understand, you know, God, like, you know, I mean, help me to do this.
And the burden's all on you.
Yeah, and it was really stressful. You know, I would hear a lot of churches, and I visited a ton, and people talk about their witnessing teams saved 50 people this weekend or
mm-hmm.
all this stuff, you know what I mean? And I remember at a young age going, like, what does that really even mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can remember being at a church and there being 50 people saved yesterday at the witnessing event. And I'm like, where they at, though? You know what I mean? Like, there ain't none of them in here.
Yeah.
So what did we mean we saved them?
Yeah.
Did they say a prayer and they went, you know, on with their lives? Did, you know what I mean? Did we hear back from it? Like, have we changed? Like, what is, like, and... With my view of I have to change these people, I'm like, I don't want to have this false, like, I save somebody.
Uh-huh.
So I really got to work hard. You know what I mean? And that was stressful. Because I'll tell you what, man, hearts of stone are not changed by human hands.
No.
And if I didn't know that from the Bible, I knew that from experience.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do nothing. And when I began to... you know, purposely study these things. Not that I'm an expert on it, but like, I'm like, man, it changed my, I go out on the street, you know, I know it's God that's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he can use me whether I, you know, give a speech like Stephen did before he was stoned.
Uh-huh.
Or if I just go out there and offer myself in a conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, God's going to do,
amen.
You know what I mean, with what he's got. I mean, you hear all these things about comparing us to Moses with the speech and things like that. But, I mean, God, you can use whatever he wants to use.
Yeah.
And it took so much pressure off me, man, because I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to be me, and I'm going to, you know, love my neighbor, and that's it. And that's it.
The burden is not on you. And I think that's important. And it gives us assurance that our preaching does not go to waste.
And I don't have to no longer try to, like, wow the person or, you know, guilt them or do none of that no more. Man, I just go out there and love on people.
And you know, that's the issue with, you know, having the view that we change people's hearts. Is that that's when we come up with these fancy ways of winning people over, or set the mood right, and then tell them about their sins. You know, like, we look for this emotional response to try to emotionally move people, but emotions don't last long. That's they wither away.
That's the seed that's buried on the, you know, that doesn't grow much root.
Amen.
I mean, they spring up quickly at first.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't stand through no storms, man.
No storms. Not Harvey. Not Irma, not Jose, not James Hoffman,
None of them, they don't stand, bro. You know why? You know why. You got anything else to add?
Nah, I think we should end right on that.
That was good, man. Listen, everybody, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Brain Broadcast.
Check us out on iTunes, guys. iTunes is your favorite podcasting app. Yep. Leave us a review. Leave us a message. Share this video.
Yep.
We love y'all.
And listen, all 100,000 Grace donations, I'll put my PayPal online.
See you guys.
All right, everybody.